Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Ditching Imposter Syndrome podcast with me, your host, Claire Yosa. And today is all about, do men actually get imposter syndrome? So this episode is for you. If it looks to you like the only people in the world who get imposter syndrome are women and it's a girl thing, and that men are somehow immune to it, exempt from it, and it doesn't affect them at all. I'm going to be sharing with you what our latest research study into this really says, some surprising differences between the sexes on imposter syndrome, and how we can support men as well as women to set themselves free from that secret fear of being found out as a fraud or not good enough, even when the outside world thinks they're doing well. The Ditching Imposter Syndrome podcast is brought to you with love from Claire Yosa. It is bite-sized inspiration for becoming the real you. Practical, science-based, research-backed, with a generous dollop of humour, and what we call woo power, engineer-approved, of course, if you already know Claire. This is to help you to lead with courage, confidence, and passion, having the impact your ideas and dreams deserve, with less effort, and definitely without the fear. As a brilliant first step, if you're new to the podcast, make sure you have hit subscribe so you catch every episode, and take Claire's free research-backed quiz-style assessment to get your imposter syndrome score and a personalized action plan as her gift so you can start turning things around today. Go to ditchingimpostersyndrome.com/quiz, and in the next 3 minutes, you'll get your score, your action plan, and be ready to start waving goodbye to imposter syndrome once and for all. So I lose count of how often I get asked this one. Is do men even get imposter syndrome, or does it just affect women? So let's start by just agreeing what imposter syndrome is. I define it as the secret fear of being found out as not good enough, or a fraud, or not belonging despite external world evidence that you're doing well. And it's different to self-doubt. Self-doubt is about what we can and can't do, our skills and our capabilities, whereas imposter syndrome is deeper at who we think we really are. Who am I to do that? What if they find out I am a fraud? This is an identity level issue, whereas self-doubt is more about skills gaps, and some good old-fashioned mindset level coaching and work can really make a difference. You need different tools to deal with imposter syndrome. I could talk about that for a long time, but to keep this episode concise, I've put a link in the show notes you want to look for in episode 7 of the Ditching Imposter Syndrome podcast, What's the Difference Between Imposter Syndrome and Confidence or Self-Doubt? So another way that I define imposter syndrome, and I often think of this as my light bulb definition, because when I'm doing a keynote talk for an organization or a conference, it's often the one where everybody, you see the faces in the room go, yeah, that's me. Is the secret fear of others judging us the way we judge ourselves. So just let that land for a moment. The secret fear of others judging us the way we judge ourselves. Now, we're just wrapping up the last bit of work on the white paper for the 2024 Imposter Syndrome and Burnout Research Study, and we have found that 62% of women have struggled with imposter syndrome daily or regularly in the past year to an extent that's affecting their performance, their well-being, their mental, emotional, and physical health. And 1 in 10 people is thinking of quitting their job due to imposter syndrome and burnout every single day. This is up a fifth, both of those stats, since the pandemic. And the majority of people think this only affects women. So if 62% of women have struggled with it daily or regularly in the past year, what's the stat for men? 59%. So they're pretty much the same. So what's going on? Why do people think it's just about women and men don't experience imposter syndrome? There are a number of reasons for this. Firstly, the very original research on the imposter phenomenon, as it was then known back in 1978 by Pauline Clance and Suzanne Eames, only included women. Who knows why? It's probably that's who they had at their disposal to research and work with. Their future research did include men. They found that men also experienced imposter syndrome, but by that point, the connection in people's heads was formed, imposter syndrome and women. Then there's another factor. Our research studies over the last 10 years have found that women are 20 times more likely than men to ask for help with imposter syndrome and to talk to people about it. So they're the ones standing there saying, this is an issue for me. I need help and support. What can I do? The men were 20 times less likely to speak up to ask for help. They push it on down. Another factor that leads to this belief that it's only women is diversity networks are so often the ones who are running the initiatives to deal with imposter syndrome. They can see for themselves, and it's backed by our research studies, the direct impact of imposter syndrome on diversity. So they're being incredible. They're stepping up. They're having the initiative. They're making a difference. They're organizing events. They're bringing in people like me to do a workshop or run a keynote. And the thing is, these networks are predominantly run by and often run for women. One of the things I implore keynote event organizers to do, if it's, for example, a women's network running it, is to make sure they also invite men. Because when you invite only women to an event on imposter syndrome, you're accidentally reinforcing the stereotype. If you want to have something for just women, let's do something smaller in a women-only space after the main event. But really avoid falling into the trap of marketing your imposter syndrome events or solutions or trainings just to women. It just reinforces that gender stereotype. So you can see how all of these added together can really perpetuate the myth that imposter syndrome is just something that women experience. Now, not only is this unfair on women, and it can cause people to make assumptions and judgments about how women behave, how they feel, what they will achieve, how they might self-sabotage, it hurts men as well, because it means the solutions are being focused only on women, and men need support too. So here's what's happening with the men. Not only are they significantly less likely than women to admit how they're feeling and experiencing imposter syndrome and to ask for help with it, mainly due to shame, they're much more likely to push on through that fear, which can be hugely harmful. And if you want to understand why pushing on through the fear, the whole feel the fear and do it anyway type message really needs retiring, I've got a link in the show notes for a podcast episode on that. Is it time to forget the feel the fear message? That is episode 19 of the Ditching Imposter Syndrome podcast. So our research found that in addition to the deeper shame that men are feeling, because imposter syndrome is about who we think we are, not what we can and can't do. It's down there at that identity level. We found that men are 5 times more likely than women to turn to drugs, alcohol, and medication to be able to cope with the stress and anxiety that pushing on through the fear from imposter syndrome is causing them. It is a huge risk factor in men's mental health. There are massive risks in them feeling forced to push on through, to be that stereotypical strong man. And we also find that the alpha male culture in the most senior levels of too many organizations, that competitiveness, means that men are scared to show anything that could be seen as a sign of weakness for fear of being judged, excluded, blackballed, criticized. So this makes it even harder for them to speak up when they need help for imposter syndrome. So where imposter syndrome from our research studies tends, all of these are generalizations, there are always exceptions to every rule, it tends to make women hold back, shut down, not go for opportunities to shine, tone down their ideas, share the credit when praised, volunteer a butt when praised. Men instead are pushing on through that fear. They are pretending they are okay. They feel like they've got to really hide those emotions. So there's another podcast episode that could be really useful for you if you want to find out more on this. It's episode 29 from the Ditching Imposter Syndrome podcast. That's 29, the truth about do it scared, the antidote, and which of the two types of fear is trashing your confidence. And it really is time to remove this myth that imposter syndrome only affects women. Because one of the things that's happening is men are desperately scared of admitting to experiencing the words imposter syndrome. If we could rename it to something else, it might open up the opportunity for more men to feel safe in experience in sharing that they've experienced it. So another useful podcast episode for you is episode 39 from the Ditching Imposter Syndrome podcast. Is it time to rename it or reclaim it? So what can we do to support men in accepting and sharing that they've been experiencing imposter syndrome and to get access to the solutions that allow themselves to truly set themselves free from this once and for all. And I just want to briefly interrupt this episode to let you know, if you're finding this useful, make sure you're inside the Imposter Syndrome Hacks app. The March 2024 topic we're doing as our monthly hack is escaping the stress cycle. It's all about how to feel like you've got a magic wand to press pause on stress and negative self-talk in under 60 seconds. And the April 2024 monthly hack theme is what I call my 60-second courage creator. How to get past the flinch factor without risking burnout or pushing on through the fear. To get these, if you're already a Courage Club member, just pop into your Imposter Syndrome Hacks app, click on the Courses tab, and you will see the monthly hacks training. If you're new to that app, then go to impostersyndromehacks.com and you can get a 30-day free trial and a special reduced rate as a founder member. Just go to impostersyndromehacks.com, register, and you can be starting with this month's hack for imposter syndrome, preventing burnout, shrinking your stress levels, and cranking up your confidence in the next 5 minutes. So we need to start by moving away from the either-or thinking. It's either women or it's men. This can affect anyone. Someone's sex or gender identity doesn't make them more or less predisposed to experiencing imposter syndrome. It's driven by other factors. Then as step zero, we need to remove the taboo. So part of my huge mission, what's driven me to specialize in this field for over 20 years, is a deep desire for it to become as acceptable to ask for support with imposter syndrome as it is with, say, Microsoft Excel. Now, I've actually got a gift for you to help with removing the taboo. If you get my Imposter Syndrome Hacks app, even if you are just a free member and not a paid member, there is a course in there called Imposter Syndrome 101. One of the lessons inside that course is all about how to remove the taboo. It's a video training, and there are a couple of PDF resources you can download on how to remove the taboo in your organization, how to raise the conversation, discussions you can have as a team at your team meetings. And it is a fantastic step zero for starting to turn this around. When we remove the taboo and people no longer feel afraid of being judged, shamed, rejected, even taken out of consideration for an opportunity to shine, be more visible, or get promoted. When we take that away and make it completely judgment-free, asking for help with this, can you imagine how many more people will step up and ask for help? How that could shift in a positive way the company culture, the mental health, emotional health, productivity, and performance benefits simply from removing the taboo. Another thing that we need to do is look at genuine equity. There is a classic meme that goes around social media every now and then, looking at a parent taking their two children to see a football match. One of the kids is quite young, one of them's a bit older. They can't see over the barrier, so they can't see the match. So the parent gives them a box each. And equality means they each get the same sized box. The older kid can now see over the barrier, the younger kid can't. Equity is giving each of them the size box they need, so they can both see the match, and there's a genuine level playing field. It's similar with imposter syndrome. The solutions that tend to work best with men are slightly different to the ones that tend to work best with women. Of course, there are always exceptions, and it also comes down to culture and environment. For men, they tend to prefer to work with an external certified imposter syndrome coach on a one-to-one basis before moving into something like a men-only group discussion. With women, they can really thrive in that group coaching environment because they feel so much safer sharing their emotions, their thoughts, their opinions with other women. And they also can learn and support and grow from each other's experiences. Again, I'm generalizing, but from our research studies, we find that women tend to do really well when working with somebody who's actually an in-house imposter syndrome certified coach or master coach. Men tend to prefer to work with someone external, but the women tend to find it actually reassuring that it's somebody that understands the situation that they're in, who can empathize with that. Again, there are exceptions to every rule. Another thing that's incredibly important to help men with imposter syndrome is to give them permission to stop feeling like they always have to be brave and strong. This isn't then about creating a pity party or using imposter syndrome as a badge of honour. It's about genuine well-being. The knock-on effects for general male mental health are enormous from this one tiny cultural shift, giving men permission to stop feeling like they always have to be brave and strong. When you can facilitate this in your organisation, then it means you can move away from the highly competitive alpha male culture at the most senior levels, which we've found to be one of three hidden barriers to the gender pay gap and gender equality. And you improve the mental health of the people leading the company. And that has a ripple effect through everybody else that's reporting into them. And finally, the Imposter Syndrome Hacks app. So we find on things like our group coaching programs, like the Imposter Syndrome Bootcamp or the Influence Lab, we tend to be about 90% women in the delegates who join us for those programs and only 10% men. On the Imposter Syndrome Hacks app, it's about 50-50. And we've asked people why this is, and the men are telling us it's a much more private way to get support, to take inspired action that they know is research-backed and proven and that can help them to ditch imposter syndrome in just 5 minutes a day. And remember, women were 20 times more likely than men to want to talk about this and ask for help and share their experience with others. Men tend to experience this in a much more private way, and the ability to do so through an app meant that we found men are much more likely to take action, to see breakthroughs, and to start setting themselves free from imposter syndrome once and for all. So the Imposter Syndrome Hacks app is a brilliant solution for men as well as women. Now, obviously, sending the men in your teams who are experiencing imposter syndrome, remember it's 59% experiencing it daily or regularly in the past year, to an extent that will be impacting their well-being, their performance, their productivity, and possibly even their teams if it's turning the manager toxic into a micromanaging bully boss. It's not possible to pay for every single one of those people to go and work with a fully qualified, imposter syndrome certified external coach. If you are looking for an external coach, I've got a gift for you, which is 10 questions that you need to ask an external coach before committing to work with them on imposter syndrome. You can find that in the Imposter Syndrome Hacks app under bonus resources, or you can register to get that PDF. It's like a workbook you can go through at ditchingimpostersyndrome.com/10 questions. That's 10 questions. But if you don't have the immense budget required to send everybody to go and work with an external coach, then I strongly encourage you to build your own in-house resources. For example, my natural resilience method practitioners are affectionately known as imposter syndrome first aiders. They can help probably about 80% of people who are experiencing imposter syndrome. It's only about 10-15 or so percent that actually need to go and work with a certified imposter syndrome master coach. And these people can then be in-house coaches supporting people with imposter syndrome. I know back in my engineering days, I quit the engineering career I loved back in 2001 due to imposter syndrome. I thought I was the only one. Yeah, I thought everybody else had their act together. I thought I was somehow broken. If there had been somebody in my organization that I could have gone to talk to about this, I'd still be an engineer. But then you wouldn't be getting this podcast episode and I wouldn't have written 10 books. So it swings and roundabouts. But having those people in-house to be able to do that foundation level work to help 8 out of 10 people that are struggling with imposter syndrome to set themselves free from it once and for all is transformational. And then you just need a sprinkling of certified imposter syndrome master coaches for those who might need the deeper work. And I'm putting a link to find out more about that and potentially apply to join us on our next cohort for that certification program in the show notes. You can also find it at ditchingimpostersyndrome.com/natural resilience method. So that wraps up what I wanted to say today about, do men actually get imposter syndrome? Hopefully that's dispelled some of the myths for you. And my biggest prayer is, if you're a man listening to this and you've been struggling in silence, please use this as your invitation, your permission to stop feeling like you've got to pretend to be brave and strong. to find the people that can give you the support, that can help you to set yourself free from this so you don't have to keep pushing on through the fear. And if there's no one in your organization, get in touch. Yeah. Maybe you're the champion that needs to bring this work into your teams so that you can help hundreds for the cost of coaching a handful. And make sure you go to impostersyndromehacks.com. You can join us as a free member, an Essentials member, or a Courage Club member. And if you do, you could be experiencing your first breakthroughs even before the end of the day today. I hope you found that episode useful. I will be back next week with episode 57 when we're going to be talking about, but I need imposter syndrome to perform, and other pretend benefits of experiencing imposter syndrome that secretly keep us stuck. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to the Ditching Imposter Syndrome podcast. I cannot wait to hear what you go and do with this stuff. Make sure you subscribe to wherever you love to get your podcasts. It's absolutely free. My gift to you and your future every Friday. And if you found it useful, please leave us a review. It helps other people to find the podcast too. And remember, one of my other gifts to you is my imposter syndrome scorecard. So if you haven't found out your imposter syndrome score yet and you haven't got your personalized action plan from me for that yet, go to clairejosa.com/quiz and take the scorecard now.